after prayer and soul searching, I am suspending my campaign. Those are the words of Herman Cain today, December 3rd, 2011. I'm Gary Mack, and this is Leaning Right, episode number 28, and I'm glad you could join us. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. This is our first post-Thanksgiving show. So let's get right back down to the news. As I just got done saying, today Herman Cain suspended his campaign for the Republican nomination for the presidential nomination. He said, I am suspending my presidential campaign because of the continued distraction. That distraction, of course, was the latest accusation by a woman who claimed she had a 13-year affair with Herman Cain, an extramarital affair, that he flew her to numerous cities and text messaged her numerous times. Cain, of course, denies the charge, does not deny knowing the lady, said that she was a friend of his for many years, and that he gave her financial support. Does not deny that. He does deny the extramarital affair, and says that never happened. But, of course, with all the distractions from this, along with the other claims of sexual harassment and the cases that were brought or allegedly brought against him on those matters, it got to be too much. It became too much of a circus. He was not able to speak about what he believes in and what his programs would be and what he would do to straighten out the country. And it was too much answering of these sort of questions. And his ideas and solutions were no longer getting out there. So Herman Cain today suspends his campaign for the race for the Republican nomination. He did say that he is not going to be silenced and that he is not going away. He will stay in the limelight to a certain extent, but he did meet with his family and his wife this weekend. And I think between the all of them with the discussions and, as he said, the distractions, this is probably the best thing to do. So who does this help? Well, Newt Gingrich has definitely jumped into the forefront of the mix. He has taken the lead in some states in the polls, as Newt Romney continues steadily but dropping ever so slightly. But Newt Gingrich is really surging ahead. In fact, in one national poll, he even has a 2-point advantage over Barack Obama. So it'll be interesting to see where the Herman Cain support goes. Does it go to Newt Gingrich? Does it go to Mitt Romney? Or does it go to someone else like Michelle Bachmann? It's possible that she could surge now with this news that Herman Cain is out of the race. And it's a damn shame. Herman Cain came with some fresh new ideas, some different ways of looking at things, and now he's out of the race. And these type of things are deadly to a campaign, even though he is, you know, he's guilty before he's even found innocent. But that's the way it goes. Once, you know, you can't do anything about it. Once these things are out of the box, it really can knock you for a loop. So Herman Cain is effectively out of the running for the Republican nomination for the presidency. And someone else who is out of the running and won't be running for re-election in 2012 is Barney Frank, the gay liberal congressman from the state of Massachusetts, said he is going to retire, will not seek re-election. And as far as I'm concerned, good riddance to you. Barney Frank has never been one of my favorites as a left-wing liberal, and as I believe he's a liar, and he's gotten away with practically murder in the Congress. He became very powerful and could not be touched. And one of the reasons he's not going to run for re-election is that the state has a new redistricting map, and it will include people he has never represented before, and probably they're on more on the conservative side. So he will bail out after 32 years, and that was about 31 years too many, if you ask me. Frank consistently came down on the liberal side of public issues, opposing the war in Iraq and bills to cover its expenses. And, you know, he's not so squeaky clean. More than two decades ago, Frank was reprimanded by the House for using his congressional status on behalf of a male prostitute whom he had employed as a personal aide, including seeking dismissal of 33 parking tickets. And if I am, if I'm not mistaken, his lover at one point in time, at that time, was also practically running a brothel out of his apartment or out of his house, and he claims he had no knowledge of it. Of course, Frank was in the middle of the whole housing bust that occurred that really led to a lot of these economic problems that we're having today. And, of course, he just skates away and no blame done to anybody but the country. He defended Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and said that they were not the center of the housing meltdown, but most people believe and know that they were. And, you know, you'd have to say, as economist Thomas Sowell wrote last year, no one contributed more to the policies behind the housing boom and bust, which led to the economic disaster we are now in, and Congressman Barney Frank. And hopefully history will record that, and that's how we will remember Barney Frank. So Barney Frank retires, and good riddance to you. Of course, the news isn't all good because his position will be taken by Maxine Waters, who is could be more left than Barney, and who is also under congressional investigation and ethics violations in the Congress. So it just happens one after the other with these liberals. They say one thing and they mean another as they talk out of both sides of the mouth. And let's see what else is going on. Gary Johnson, the disgruntled former New Mexico mayor who has been running for the Republican nomination for the presidency, and really he is a very long shot and has not even been invited to the last few debates because he really is not drawing any attention to his campaign, says he's considering leaving the Republicans and running as a third party candidate in the 2012 presidential election. The Republican Party has left me by the wayside, said Johnson, whose polling numbers have been so low that they are often not even picked up by pollsters. He is one of the libertarians on the ballot. But, you know, this is not something that you want to see. And if he wants to defeat Barack Obama, he will not run. The worst thing that could happen now, really, is that a third party, either on the conservative side or the libertarian side, actually decides to run, because it will hurt the Republican and help Obama. It'll help the anti-Obama vote, because it would give those folks another avenue to go down. And at this point in time, our emphasis should be on defeating Barack Obama and not in helping him get reelected. So the worst thing we can do is get him reelected, because this country can't stand four more years of his administration. And we're going to take a break right here and be back right after these messages. You can now hear our show while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Available for your iPhone, Android phone, WebOS phone, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy.com or check out your app store. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Barack Obama's legacy of failure. High unemployment rates persist after the government bailed out banks, automobile companies, and targeted our healthcare system. Federal employees now earn more than twice as much as those of us employed by the private sector. Obama has crippled Americans with a $14 trillion national debt. Nearly $1 trillion is owed by the U.S. to China alone. And while Obama earns a reputation for incompetence around the globe, our borders here at home remain unsecured as drug traffickers and terrorists seek to exploit our negligence. But now, we the people are fighting back for fiscal responsibility, a return to constitutional principles, with greater individual liberty and less government regulation over our lives. We deserve new leadership that serves with honor, integrity, and decency. Join us online at CampaignToDefeatObama.com.
Our country deserves better. PAC, TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
That's our comment hotline if you'd like to be part of the show, or just leave a message for us or ask a question or whatever. And if you prefer to not call in but to send an email, you can do that too at leaningrightnow@gmail.com. Those are the numbers. Those are the situation. If you want to contact the show for anything, just give us a call on that number, 516-619-6341, or email us at leaningrightnow@gmail.com. So we had the big turkey pardon before the Thanksgiving holiday, and Obama, you know, every year the president pardons a turkey as a tradition now. And Obama managed to politicize this as he attacked Congress, took a little jab at Congress, even during the turkey pardon. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He can't do anything without taking a jab at either the Republicans, Congress, or whatever. Take a listen to what he said.
It's a journey that began 2.5 years ago. Now the nation's first nacelle plant is up and running. See how the Siemens factory is making a difference in a small town by helping its people make a difference in the world.
The video
visit Siemens.com/Hutchinson.
You are hereby pardoned. Some of you may know that recently I've been taking a series of executive actions that don't require congressional approval. Well, here's another one. We can't wait to pardon these turkeys. Otherwise, they'd end up next to the mashed potatoes and stuffing.
Okay,
it's a journey that began 2.5 years ago. Now, the nation's first
I thought he was talking about the Senate there when he was talking about pardoned turkeys. But he got a little jab in at Congress saying he had to take executive action to get things done because blah, blah, blah. This is the same crap we've been hearing for the last 3 years. He does not take any blame for anything himself, this guy. Everything is somebody else's fault. And I guess this is what we will be seeing in the campaign, as he will be blaming the Congress for doing nothing. Needless to say, the Congress has passed, I forget the numbers, something like 111 bills have been passed by the House of Representatives, sent to the Senate, and blocked by the Democrats. Remember, the Republicans do not have control of the Senate. They only have one half of the Congress. They have the House of Representatives. The Senate is controlled by the Democrats. And Harry Reid, the majority leader of the House, has control about what gets voted on and what not gets voted on. And there have been something, again, like 22 job bills that was passed in the Republican House of Representatives that has been stalled. That has been stalled, stonewalled, stopped by Harry Reid in the Senate. So it is disingenuous of Obama to go out and say that the Congress, the Republicans, are do nothing, that they are stopping his programs. Well, his programs aren't any good. His programs can't pass. His job bill won't pass because there isn't enough Democrats that approve of it. They know it's no good. And the job bills that are passing are being stopped in the Senate. So, my friends, it is the Democrats in the Senate. It is Harry Reid. It is Durbin. It is the rest of those liberal Democrats that are stopping the help coming to this country that we need. And yet Obama continues to get on his high horse and blame the Republicans for everything because he can't run. On his record stinks. You know it, I know it. His record stinks. And now he's trying to shove this American Jobs Act down our throat. And he blames the Republicans for the bill's failure. And he's been out all over the country appealing to voters to support his millionaires tax, which would cover the cost of extending the payroll tax cut. And now a new thing he's added to his speeches. He's been claiming to be fighting for the small businesses in the middle class. And yet it's his National Relations Labor Board, as well as the Environmental Protection Agency, that have piled on the regulations. Piled on. To stop companies and businesses stopping them in the tracks. They can't operate because they have so many rules and regulations coming down on a daily basis from this administration. Yet he says he wants to help the small businesses. Well, let's see how much he wants to help small businesses. There are three bills coming before the House, or they may even be on the floor as we speak, that are intended to hold regulatory agencies more accountable for the measures that they pass. And these bills are specifically designed to help small businesses. So will he pass them? Of course he won't. Of course he won't, because his administration has already said they won't sign it. Because they say it would create new hurdles to federal regulation. So his advisors are recommending a veto. He will veto these bills because it's going to put a blanket over his agencies that love to regulate people. And it goes against his beliefs that the government is the solution to everything. So he wants to blame the Republicans for anything, but time and time again, when the Republicans pass legislation, or even considering legislation that will help small businesses, his administration comes out and says they're not going to support it. And then you wonder why this country is in the position we're in right now. We cannot take four more years of this man and his administration. His foreign policy is making a laughingstock of this country all across the world. We're not respected across the world like we used to be. We're laughed at now. Our economy is in bad shape. This is what happens when you elect somebody that has no experience. This is what happens when you elect someone who never held a real job in his life. He was a community organizer. And this is a man who loves the campaign and gives speeches, but does not want to rule. We have a leadership problem in this country right now. And that's why we're floundering, because nobody has grabbed the bulls by the horn to lead us. Nobody has made us feel good about this country. This is Jimmy Carter all over again. Do we have a Ronald Reagan on the horizon? God, I hope so. I really do, because we need something like that right now. We really do need Ronald Reagan or a Ronald Reagan-esque politician to arise again in this country and to show us the way out of this darkness that we call Barack Obama and the administration of gloom and doom, and show us the way back to what a great country this can be. This is President Willie, and you're listening to Leaning Right with Gary Mack. It's my favorite show on the internet. Just don't tell Hillary.
Barack Obama's legacy of failure. High unemployment rates persist after the government bailed out banks, automobile companies, and targeted our healthcare system. Federal employees now earn more than twice as much as those of us employed by the private sector. Obama has crippled Americans with a $14 trillion national debt. Nearly $1 trillion is owed by the U.S. to China alone. And while Obama earns a reputation for incompetence around the globe, our borders here at home remain unsecured as drug traffickers and terrorists seek to exploit our negligence. But now, we the people are fighting back for fiscal responsibility, a return to constitutional principles, with greater individual liberty and less government regulation over our lives. We deserve new leadership that serves with honor, integrity, and decency. Join us online at campaigntodefeatobama.com.
Our country deserves better. PAC, TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
This is Barry from Metz Musings. Be sure to tune in weekly to Gary and myself at MetzMusings@Podomatic.com and also on iTunes.
The U.S. Supreme Court says that teachers cannot be forced to pay full union dues, but that's exactly what it feels like at my school. I learned that the First Amendment allows me to resign from the union and stop supporting union politics, but I do want to belong to a professional group. What can I do?
The Association of American Educators Foundation wants you to know that you do have options. To learn more, please go to www.aaeteachers.org or call toll-free 800-704-7799.
So we're back, and I don't know if you saw this story. This is one of those stories that you kind of cringe at because it could be taken both ways, but you really don't know where to go with it. And I'm talking about the story about the obese third grader taken from his mother and placed in foster care. A Cleveland third grader who weighed more than 200 pounds was taken from his mother after officials reportedly said she did not do enough to help the boy who suffered from a weight-related health issue to lose weight. Officials first became aware of the boy's weight after his mother took him to the hospital last year while he was having breathing problems, the newspaper, the Cleveland Plains Dealer, reported. The child was diagnosed with sleep apnea and began to be monitored by social workers while he was enrolled in a program called Healthy Kids, Healthy Weight at the Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. The boy lost a few pounds, but recently began to gain some back, the Cleveland Plain Dealer reported. At that point, the Department of Children and Family Services asked a juvenile court for custody of the boy, citing his soaring weight as a form of medical neglect. This is a tough one to call because you know, they did what they need to do. And I mean, taking a child from his mother, I don't feel is the correct thing to do. It's not like they totally neglected the child. The child was loved. The child was taken care of. The child has an obesity problem. We have an obesity problem in this country. This is not one of the only child this has happened to. There are a lot of children, a lot of adults. I've been overweight my entire life, and it's quite a battle. And even to this day, it is not an easy thing to do. In fact, they relay a story in this article about another child that was taken away over a decade ago. A three-year-old was taken from her parents. She weighed 90 pounds and placed into foster care. And the child didn't approve at all in foster care and was eventually returned to her parents. A young girl was later diagnosed with a genetic predisposition. The mother went on to say that they said it was for the well-being of the child, but it did more damage than any money or therapy could ever do to fix it. And the child, who is now a teenager, agreed. you know, once again, this is government getting in our lives, and there's no guarantee that what the state is attempting to do, intervening, is going to come out with a good outcome. In fact, if you look at most of these things that happen in the state, it's just the opposite. And if they take children away for this, what other reasons will they do it? What happens if you don't get your kid an eye exam and they find out that he needs glasses? Is that going to be called abuse and they take your child away? Maybe this whole country has to take a different look at obesity. Maybe we have to be more tolerant. Maybe we have to look at it and force these insurance companies to back more of these programs, such as a Weight Watchers style or a Nutrisystem or something that works along those lines. Jenny Craig. Maybe if insurance is paid for these type of programs, at least it would get some people off the obesity wagon and into a healthier lifestyle. But it's very difficult. And why some of these programs work is because they're regimented and people need regimentation. But there's no guarantee that they'll go back and gain weight once they have finished or reached their ideal goal weight. But if 10% of the people can do that with that much further ahead of the game. But government has to stay out of our lives. They may have all of the best intentions, but they have to stay out of our lives, because 9 times out of 10 it does not turn out well. So give the child back to his parents and help them. Help them more than just tell him to go enroll in a program. Help them. Don't punish them. And this story out of Delaware, police in Delaware say a 9-year-old boy drove himself to school with his mother in the passenger seat. That's a bit of a no-no, and she's in big trouble now. She's facing charges. According to court records, numerous witnesses saw the boy pull into the parking lot of his elementary school in Dover, Delaware, and get out. Police say his mother, 34-year-old Tammy O'Neill, drove away. Captain Tim Stump says O'Neill told police she has allowed her son to drive in a field since he was 5. Stump says she said the boy begged her to let him drive the quarter mile to school. O'Neill has been charged with reckless endangering and endangering the welfare of a child. She was released on $1,000 unsecured bail, and a listed number could not be found for her. And let's hope Delaware does not take her child away because she made a stupid mistake and let him drive to school, but I don't know. And we couldn't end the week or show without talking about the Occupy movement. And this story caught my eye. This was a while ago, over a month ago, but it's been in that little folder of stories to get to, and it really caught my eye now, and so I thought I'd include it. In the middle of an Occupy Chicago teach-in this week, traders at the Chicago Board of Trade dumped several sheets of paper on top of the heads of protesters below. Demonstrators were angered to find out they were showered with employment applications for McDonald's. Real Class Acts, the Chicago Board of Trade, tweeted Occupy Chicago. This week it's McDonald's job applications. They litter from the windows. This is the second incident between the two groups following Chicago Board of Trade's We Are the 1% missive plastered on their windows last month. Well, at least the guys in the Board of Trade have a sense of humor, and protesters, you better get one too, because it's getting mighty cold out in Chicago, New York, and they just broke up the encampment in Philadelphia and in Los Angeles. So your days are numbered, Occupy Everything, as people are getting tired of it. The cities are getting tired, and the mayors are getting tired, and it's time to call it quits. And that's going to do it for me this week. I hope everybody has a great week coming up. Get plenty of rest and enjoy the still somewhat mild weather here in the Northeast. Let's hope it stays that way. I hope it stays that way until March or April, till we get back to that summer. I'm a summer guy, so don't want to see any snow. Don't want to see ice. Ice really scares the hell out of me now. As I get older, I'm deathly afraid of it. I don't like the cold. I have a permanent chill from, October until April. But ice is the worst. I took a fall once last year, and I do not want to go back to it again. It's frightening. I have steps going out of my house, and when it snows, no matter how much ice melts and how many times you break it up, and you know, then you get that black ice, that stuff you can't see, that's a killer. And I wish I could move to Florida, but unfortunately, I'm here, and I'll be here, and hopefully I will try to do another episode next week. But you all have, be good, be healthy, God bless you, and until next time.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if it's raining again?